I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Stories You've Missed. These are accounts of God's grace in the lives of ordinary people at Grand Parkway Baptist Church. And I'm your host, Blake Hardcastle. I serve as a spiritual formation pastor at Grand Parkway, and this podcast is designed to aid in building up this local body by recalling accounts of God's grace in our lives. My guests today are Ed and Peggy Sinders. Ed grew up in LaPorte City, Iowa, served in the U.S. Air Force, was a machine shop foreman, worked in HVAC industry for almost 5 decades. Peggy grew up in Calvert, Texas, and she played flute in high school, was an ESL tutor for over 43 years, a volunteer in A-Leaf at 31 years, and is a published writer. They have one son, Stephen, and one daughter, Portland, 4 grandkids and 5 great-grandchildren, which you said one of them is your favorite because they live here.
Well, I don't want to say she's my favorite. Okay. We can't say that.
You can't say that. One gives you great joy because you live here. And if the rest of you are listening, yes, you would give them great joy if you came to visit more often and move back. Now, I want to say my first weeks here working here, first month or two, you guys made me feel particularly welcome because every Sunday, I don't know if you intended this or not, every Sunday you would catch me in the hallway and make sure to say hello to me. Yeah. And so it's my great honor to have you as a podcast guest today. And so welcome, Ed and Peggy.
Thank you very much.
And so today you are here to have a little conversation about how you've experienced God's grace in the area of your marriage.
So you want me to start?
Hey, let's have a conversation. Yeah.
We are married 62 years.
Let me ask, how did you guys meet?
Ed was in the Air Force. I was in high school. I was dating a boy from A&M, off and on. Nothing serious.
So you were dating above your age there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I was 17 and 18, okay, something like that. But anyway, Ed was in the Air Force, and one of my girlfriends was going to Sam Houston State, and she would come home on the weekend, and she had a date with this boy. And she called me and she said, Peggy, would you like to double date? He's bringing a friend. I said, no. I really did not want to go at all, at all. Anyway, we finally did go on the date. And I told my mother, I said, you say something to this guy because I'm not really wanting to go. So when he came in, Ed has always looked much younger than what he is, especially when he was young.
Okay.
He looked like he was about 14 or 15, and he was...
He had a baby face?
He was 19.
Okay.
And my mother said, I'm not in the habit of having my daughter to date older men. and he was very cute. It was nothing serious from my part for quite some time. He was very serious, I think, right away.
Okay.
Being from Iowa, he was lonely, and you know, the first little gal that came along.
Now, being from Iowa, because he was in Texas, or just Iowans are lonely?
No, because he was away from his family.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so, Ed, you what drew you? Why were you persistent?
Well, I wasn't lonely. I was stationed at Geary Air Force Base in San Marcos.
Yeah.
The base closed per the government's orders, and they transferred me to Bryan Air Force Base for my next tour of duty. I was in helicopter. That's what I went into the Air Force for. I built model airplanes all the time growing up, and my dad loved airplanes. He took us to the airport a lot of times to watch the planes come in and go out. Mm-hmm. And he would sneak a ride every now and then. So I was fascinated with airplanes, and I always wondered how helicopters worked.
Okay.
So when I was probably in the 10th grade, I said, I'm going to go into the Air Force when I get out of high school.
Yeah.
Wow. And like I say, I built model airplanes. Yeah. So I loved them. So as soon as I got out of high school, a couple months after I got out, I was still 17, so I had to wait till I was 18. And I worked as a hired hand for a neighbor that the farmer guy broke his leg, so I had to run his farm for about 3 or 4 months till
I
turned.
Can you imagine a little guy 17 years old running a farm?
I
We're
did.
We're talking big farms, too.
Milking 16 cows every morning and night and other duties.
All you teenagers listening out there, Go ahead and try and do some hard things. It won't kill you.
That's right. So anyway, I turned 18 and signed up for the Air Force and ended up, like I said, at Bryan Air Force Base. I transferred up there on a Saturday, and all the guys on base had gone to town or whatever. They took me to my dorm where I was going to bunk. There wasn't a soul in there, so I hung up my clothes, made my bed, laid down on the bed. This is about 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And way down at the end of the, I heard the screen door slam. And this guy, big tall guy, come walking in, walked down to my bed, and he says, hi, and so forth. He says, you got a car? I said, yeah. He says, well, my car is broken down. He says, would you be interested in taking me to Calvert, Texas to see my girlfriend? And she's got a real pretty nice girlfriend.
I need to use your car. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
To get you to get the keys and let's go.
Yeah. So I wasn't really looking for a girl. I didn't have women on my mind or anything.
But you were alone at a bunkhouse.
Yeah. And I was concerned about what I'm going to do on this base and everything.
Yes, yes.
So anyway, we drove up to Calvert and I walked up on her big wide double porch and I saw her coming across the room through the screen door. I said, this is nice. Anyway, we went out and had a date or two.
Yeah.
Or about the third date, she told me, dump that other guy and come by yourself next time.
It was like driving Miss Daisy. We sat in the back and he drove. And,
you and your friend?
And Cecilia in the front with his name was Fred, as I recall. And Fred wanted, he just wanted to drive the car. That got kind of old. So
anyway, we dated by ourselves. And that went on for almost 2 years.
Okay.
It was 2 years, Ed.
We fought, broke up, fought, broke up, fought and broke up, and probably 50, 60 times or so.
I was not ready to be married. I really was not. Yeah. I was too
young.
You were
17?
I was 19.
19?
When we married.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't either because I was still in the Air Force.
You could run a farm, but you weren't ready to be married yet.
That's right. And finally, at the end of my, coming close to the end of the fourth year of being in the Air Force, the government came by and said, we're closing this base.
Okay.
And we're going to discharge you.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I got to go to Houston and find a job. Mm-hmm. So I went down to Houston and found me a job and went back to Calvert and told her, I says, I'm free now from the Air Force. You've got a job in Houston. And she said, well, I'm going with you.
Is that how it went, Peggy?
It did. She denies it, but it's the honest truth.
Oh, I don't remember that. But anyway, we did get married.
It's the honest truth.
And my aunt told me at the wedding, she said, now don't get pregnant for at least 2 years. You know, living in a small town, everybody knows your business. And she didn't want me to have a baby right away because, oh, that wouldn't sound very nice. So we did wait 2 years. I had Portland.
So how did you know, you said you would fight, break up. How did you know, okay, I want to keep fighting but not break up with this person?
To me, the love for her grew just a little bit every time.
Mm.
And finally, by the time I got divorced from the, not divorced, but released from the Air Force, I knew I wanted her. I wanted to keep her.
You knew you wanted her.
Yeah.
You wanted to keep her. Yeah.
And why? Because she was a fun dancer. She's got a witty mind. She's sharp, intelligent, and cute as a bug. So I had to have her.
I was what? A bug?
Cute as a bug.
Oh, oh golly.
Well, Peggy, is that how it went down?
Well, more or less, I guess. I just don't remember all that. I have been ill all of my life since I was born. I've always had something going on with me. I keep going. I keep going. Right now, I have COPD. Never smoked a day in my life. I have arthritis really bad, and that's why I have
a
cane.
For our listeners who may not know, what is COPD?
Well, it's your lungs get very badly damaged. I had asthma for many years, and the doctor thinks that's how I got COPD. Because if you look at my lungs, you'll see, oh, they're very bad, very thin. He said lungs should be fluffy. Mine are not fluffy. They're long and thin and have little holes all around the edges. And I can walk just a half a block, and I'm totally out of breath, and maybe not even half a block. But I keep going. That, you know, what's the alternative, you know? So, and I love people. Oh, I love people.
Now, how did you know that Ed was the guy you say, okay?
Well, I think had we had some counseling, they would have said no because you're too young. But I know there are people who've married when they were 16 and 17, you know, and people who've married 25 and 30 and they still get divorced, you know, so it doesn't. I think it. I had a lot of respect for Ed. He was just like he is today when he was 19, very serious. I mean, he worded his words, you know, before he would say anything. And me, I just go, bloom. But I think respect went over everything else. And I maybe I was ready to get married. I don't know. I mean, it's lasted.
So far.
62 years. It's
we'll
lasted.
See how it turns out.
But I came from a broken home. My father left my mother with six children.
At what age was that? Did that happen?
I was three when it happened, and my little sister was just very little, and my brother was 12 years older, and then the next one was seven and four, and then me, and then my little sister. So the other part of my family grew up with Dad at home, got to have breakfast with him, and all kinds of things. I didn't. My little sister and I grew up with just mother, and thank the good Lord, my mother was a Christian. Until the day she died at 95, I might add. There's just something missing in your life when you don't have two parents. And I know a lot of people lose their parents through death or whatever. And it's still bad. But when a father leaves you, you feel like it's your fault. And
even though
it's
another, three, you know what could a three-year-old done.
And my mother was not somebody that... talk to us. Like when he left, to me, she should have said, okay, so Dad has left. What do we do? We're going to pull our boots up by the straps and get going. And she taught us to have a lot of pride in ourselves. My mother was very smart, much smarter than Dad. My mother liked to write also. That's where I get my writing from, and from her side of the family. My dad's people, there are some Jewish people on his side of the family. My mother was, her family's from Scotland. There's a lady in this church. Who is Scottish.
And Irene,
every time
yes.
she's up on the stage and she says something, I start bawling because it reminds me of my people from long ago. And I just love her accent. So, but anyway, Ed and I have made a good life and we raised two good children. They both have been to college and, you know, my daughter just retired from teaching. So that makes you feel kind of old when you're, when your daughter's retired from teaching. And so when we built our house in A-Leaf, there was a school that was being built. And I thought, I'm going to go there and see what I can do there. So that's what I did. I went, and my children say, and Mama stayed.
And Mama stayed?
I was there 31 years. I was there 2 days a week, every day.
As a volunteer?
Except, well, with ESL.
Yeah.
And I really learned everything about being in ESL. I mean, they let me do some testing either of the children and to see what level they were on. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And then one day the principal at that time said, Peggy, why don't you take some of these kiddos home in the evening and in the afternoon and tutor them because there's a lot of them that need it. So I did that for 43 years in my home. So I stayed at school, like I say, 31 years, except when I had surgeries. I had 5 surgeries in 6 years.
Wow.
So yeah. I would stay home and recuperate and
yes.
go back to the school.
Yes.
Loved it. Dearly, dearly loved it.
And your ESL experience, this
yes.
was rewarding?
Yes, it was. Absolutely.
And so, you know, here at Grand Parkway, you know, we have an ESL
yes.
that we try and run. And, you know, they are always in desiring volunteers. And what would you say to someone who's kind of mildly curious, I don't know if that's for me, should they just go try it out once and see?
Well, you know, I thought about it and I have prayed about it. And I don't have the stamina. I'm 81 years old.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about someone who's 21 or 31 or, you know, someone in our congregation who's like, I've always been curious about ESL. Should they just go check it out?
Yeah. I really prayed about that and agonized over it. But I just don't have the stamina I did at one time.
Yeah.
And I was busy most of the time, too, until just a few years ago, still tutoring children.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I have fulfilled what God wanted me to do.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Oh, my goodness, did I love the children. And while I was there, I also became certified as a mentor, and I was ALEAF's first mentor in the ALEAF School District.
Yeah.
Yes. I won lots of awards over the years, but my reward was helping the children.
Help those kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now tell me, when I think about marriage and how God has been gracious to you two, what's a couple things that come to mind that, oh, this is definitely a time when he was very merciful to us in our marriage? Or
I think my sickness probably over the years, things that have been not so much sick, but just bones that have fallen apart. all of my joints are affected. And I have a favorite verse, and that is, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
I had to, I think anybody that's halfway creative, your mind goes 90 miles an hour. You don't sleep well because you're always thinking. Mm-hmm. And I learned to listen to God by being still.
Being still.
That's what you have to do. And God talks to me. And I don't know if it's Jesus or God, but, you know, they're the same.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I will be just thinking and thinking and thinking, and all of a sudden I have to say, okay, be still and listen to what God has for you.
Yeah.
And he does talk. And my cousin that passed away in January that I was so close to, Dorothy Trevathan, she asked me one day, Peggy, what does God sound like? And I said, well, it's not really a voice. It's just something that goes through your heart. And sometimes he will say, be still, or I'm working on it, or you need to sit down.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just some little something.
Yeah.
And you obey.
Yeah.
You obey what he tells you.
Now, you mentioned your health and talk about, you know, God's mercy to you. Has Ed been a grace from God in... with your health?
Oh my gosh, he's like my maid. I know one day somebody called and said, who's vacuuming? I said, my maid. It's Ed. He does his vacuuming. I did have to, when Ed was working, when I had my major back surgery, he did have to I had a maid. I had a maid for 5 years because I keep a very, being type A, everything has to have its place.
Yeah.
And I had the maid, fell in love with her. She was a good Christian woman. She was from Chile. She called me Miss Piggy. anyway, she was there 5 years. And then after that, I had one who was with me 1 year, and she had to leave. And then when Ed retired, he became the vacuum cleaner, the bathtub cleaner, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he helps me every day of his life. I know it gets old. It gets old for me, having to have to rely on
it. Does it get old, Ed?
No, actually, it doesn't. You know, when we got married, I said, I do. And I don't believe in divorce. I'm old school.
Or we would just say biblical, but yeah.
Yeah. And I took her for what she was. I didn't know about all of her problems at that time. I knew of some of them, but even though she's struggling today with a lot of stuff, I'm her partner, and I'm going to take care of her.
You don't regret?
I don't. I've never regretted.
It's your joy?
She's my joy.
Yeah.
I mean, we still fight today.
Yes, too much togetherness. Come Monday, he's gone for about 3 hours to the church, working in children's church. Yes, free time, a little bit of time to myself.
I'm very curious. What's the last fight you had?
Oh, golly.
I don't know.
They're not over anything big.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, but I don't want to talk further about it. Politics.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. Yes. All right. Yes.
All right. Well, yep. What would you say? I'm thinking about a couple who's maybe been married 5 or 10 years, mm-hmm. and they just kind of are beginning, the busyness of a marriage. What would you, reflecting back, 6+ decades, what would you say to them? What's some advice you would give them?
You know, like I said earlier, I'm old school, and I didn't even know what divorce was when I was in school. See, I was born on the farm, raised on the farm. Nobody out there where I lived ever divorced. The women got out there on the farm and worked with their husbands and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it just irks me when you see these rag sheets on the at the grocery store where these Hollywood people,
mm-hmm. celebrities,
yeah, fall in love with each other and then 8 months or 9 months later have a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, how can that ever work? Mm-hmm. I mean, I already told you we dated for 2 years, searching out everything that we could about each other.
Mm.
After we got married, we talked to each other. We never buy anything without discussing it between ourselves, mm-hmm. about money. And I did buy one thing.
Peggy raised her hand with one finger to remind us. Well, that was one thing you bought. What was that one thing?
I bought a motorcycle and didn't tell her.
Oh, I'm very interested now. How long ago was this?
I come out of the kitchen, and there in the garage is this huge motorcycle that looked almost as big as a small car. I'm not kidding.
Was it as big as a small car?
It was like a peanut riding that thing.
You know what the Honda Goldwing looks like?
Oh, yes.
It was the big size. Except I bought the Yamaha version of
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And had you ridden motorcycles before this?
No, but I immediately went and took a safety course.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I...
I never got on the thing.
Never?
No. Mm-mm. It didn't interest me at all. In fact, our son-in-law bought his two boys a motorbike because he raced in motorcycle, mm-hmm. Whatever it was, off-the-road stuff. And neither one of the boys were interested. And I went, yes! And then he sold them. But getting back to what we talk about,
yeah.
what we should tell a young married couple,
yeah.
like Ed said, is talking. Now, I come from a family of 6, and among the 6 of us, there were 13 marriages, okay?
Mm.
And when I got married, one of the things this little 19-year-old girl said, there will be no divorce in mm-hmm. my family.
Mm-hmm.
The sins of the father will stop here.
Mm. Yes. That's a great mercy from God that... and I think helpful for our listeners that what you experienced, that does not have to be repeated. You're not marked for life that if you experience divorce or abandonment and all the rest of the child, you don't have to repeat that because of God's grace in your life. Yeah.
I want to say one thing too. My voice is almost shot for some reason. My ear's plugged up today. But I always... was involved in the church, not real close or anything, as I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
My next-door neighbor took me to church with her quite a bit when I was like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Vacation Bible school and all that. I can remember today as a 7 or 8-year-old kid walking down the aisle with my staff as one of the shepherds.
Yeah, in a play. Yeah.
In a play.
Yeah.
That was Methodist church, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, as I grew up, when I became 16, my mom and dad gave me a radio, mm-hmm. which fit nice in my headboard on my mm-hmm. bed. And for some reason, I listened to Dr. Graham, Hour of Power, 10 o'clock
Billy Graham.
Every night.
Yeah.
And I don't know what drove me that way. Mm. When I was in the Air Force, I went to church on Sundays. Some Sundays I went to a Baptist church. Mm-hmm. Some Sundays I went to a Presbyterian church. Mm-hmm. My dad never was concerned, it seemed like, about us kids going to church, but my mom was. My mom was a Methodist.
Ain't good for mom.
And my dad came from a family of 12 brothers and one sister, and they were strong Baptists.
Yeah.
And that was another driving force for me, because she was a Baptist, and she was a strong Baptist, and still is today. So that worked in my favor.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned briefly that, you know, you spent a couple of years really trying to get to know the other person.
Yes.
What would you say to a, I have kind of two couples in mind. You know, one might be a young couple who they maybe begun dating and they're trying to figure out, is this the one? What would you say to that person?
I would say keep dating. You know, that's how you find out.
Dating until you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't find out about anybody when you're just going to date 6 months or close to a year.
Yeah.
I mean, you got,
if you're serious,
how many kids do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with your money? You going to make a joint account or separate?
See, he was this way when I met him. He was like an old soul.
Old soul.
Yeah.
Had a young face, but an old heart.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people today, when they get married, she's of one faith, he's of one faith, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So all that stuff has to be worked out.
What would you say to a couple who they figured out this is the one? I want to keep fighting with this one, but they're engaged currently, and you know, do they really know what they're getting themselves into? What would you say to this young couple?
Well, Neil, Pastor Neil is one that
Pastor at Grand Parkway here.
He says a lot of times they don't know what they're getting into. You know, when he marries a couple, and you don't. I would like to add also that when I was in high school, and even in grade school, I can remember, I used to have these weird feelings in my head. And there was no way back then in the 40s and 50s that you could go to your mother and say, I have these weird feelings in my head, like I'm crazy, you know, because you do feel crazy. Anyway, when Ed and I married, he found me a doctor, and I was in counseling for quite some time, but I had agoraphobia. And that means, Greek, means fear of the marketplace. And someone asked me one time, how do you feel when you have this? And I said, of course, the Dome Stadium was then. And I said, it feels like you're dangling from a rope in the middle of the Dome Stadium and no place to hold on, no anchor, no nothing. So that's what I lived with for many, 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 many years. And when we first married, I could not sit with a crowd.
Okay.
I would feel like I was going to have a heart attack or something. And not knowing what I had made it even worse. And it does tend to run in families. Mm-hmm. There's certain people in my family that had some problems. But I finally got help. Thank God I did. And thank God for Dr. Klein, my doctor, that helped me.
Yeah.
And the last time I saw Dr. Klein, he opened up his folder to talk to me. And one of my poems fell out that I had written and sent to him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I learned to finally, and I was telling Marcy one day when she was over and having lunch with me, Marcy McClendon, I told her, I said, I can still remember how I felt, but now I can sit anywhere I want to because God has healed me of that. Mm. And he healed me through a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see,
mm-hmm.
we think God can just go zap,
right.
But he sent me to this perfect man that helped me, Dr. Klein. And
someone, a doctor, be his hands that he used this person instrument to work the healing.
Yes. So that was the main thing that I had growing up wrong with me, besides rheumatic fever when I was six. I missed a year of school right after I started school.
Let me tell you how I helped her get over that fear.
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. He did help me a lot. Yes.
When I was in air conditioning, we did a job for a lady here in Houston that had a lot of money living in Memorial over there.
Mm-hmm.
She, her air conditioning in her house was huge and everything, cost a lot of money to replace it. So we gave her a quote and she says, can't afford that. Would you do a little horse trading with me?
Okay.
And the boss said, okay, what do you got? She says, we got a villa down in Acapulco, Mexico. I'll give that to you for a week with a car, if you want to deal with this swap.
Sharpen your pencil a little bit.
Yeah. So the boss took it. So I came home that night all excited. I said, Peggy, we're going to Acapulco. She says, you are, but I'm not.
Well, I was still doing therapy and stuff, Ed, and I was not.
But anyway, a week or two later, she came to me and she's, okay, I'll go.
I'm ready.
Yeah, we did have a good
On the
time.
Plane, we had to sit across the aisle from each other. And, of course, our hands were across the aisle. She was gripping mine and everything. And by the time we started flying home, she says, this is the only way we're going to travel from now on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, I'd like to say one other thing about agoraphobia and all those things that people have. There are people today who are in their homes and they never leave because they've never had any help. And so I don't mind talking to someone when I know that they've got some problems because there is help out there. Oh, my goodness, there is wonderful help out there. I mean, I had it in the worst way. And mainly because you hold it in. But when you're able to verbalize what's wrong with you, then you get help. And then you know what you've got. You're not really crazy. You have a chemical imbalance. And I've been on medication all these years. And I'm able to do whatever.
Well, I've so enjoyed knowing you, but in talking to you today. And I really think, you know, your marriage is a testament to God's really unfailing, you know, grace in our lives, and that, you know, just the short things you mentioned here, a marriage can survive job change. A marriage can survive ailments that are no fault of your own. Yeah. A marriage can survive an upbringing that's not ideal, and that God can do all that. And so, you know, for our listeners, that those things are not reasons to pack it in and quit.
Yes.
I want to quote one verse.
Please.
It says, love the Lord your God
with all your heart.
Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him, for he is your life. That's the verse that stays with me all the time.
Yeah.
Keeps me grounded.
That's like a beautiful way.
And that comes out of Deuteronomy 30:20.
Deuteronomy 30:20.
Yes.
Well, I'm certain we could talk much longer, and maybe we will again, but I want to thank you, Ed and Peggy, for sharing for a little bit here today, and I want to thank you for listening. If you're enjoying these podcasts, do us a favor and subscribe and give us a little review wherever you listen to podcasts, and if you have suggestions of other stories that people in our congregation need to hear, email me at blake@grandparkway.org. Thank you for listening to The Stories You've Missed.